Hey, Bears fans, this is Cole Wright from Marquee Sports Network. Now, we know you can never get enough Bears, so join us Tuesday for Bear Essentials, a recap of this week's Bears action and analysis of the week ahead. Then, we'll re-air this week's Bears game at 7 o'clock on Marquee Sports Network.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
All right, let's go. A lot of football to discuss. Not a good weekend, and we're back from the weekend after Martin Luther King Day. Not a good weekend up at Hallis Hall.
No?
Well, not because the Bears weren't in the postseason or aren't in now the NFC Championship game, but because the Packers won. And, you know, George, that kills George. Go Rams. It wasn't enough.
No, it wasn't.
George's weekend was ruined.
Listen, I think the Packers are going to beat the Bucks too. So, like, if you're one that believes that, you know, torture comes in the form of a Green Bay Packer appearance in the Super Bowl, I think you're going to be tortured.
Yeah. I've got some stats for you, too, later with Brady and Rodgers meeting in the NFC title game. I mean, that is
damn picturesque. Brady guy, too. Like, my goodness.
Unbelievable.
How many trips to the title game? 14? Something like that?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Stop. Come
it's
on.
Incredible. The phone number to reach us, 332-3776, 332-ESPN. And you offered an interesting question before we get into everything that happened over the weekend with the playoff games as we focus on our team, and we'll
goobers,
get to the Cubs drama.
Yeah, you goobers think it, you know, like all of a sudden next year it's going to be in a whole new group. And I don't know where you goobers are coming up with that thought that it's, you know, likely. Like, here's, take $1,000 out of your bank account and you have to bet it. You have to bet it. Will the same coach and general manager be in the same roles in 2022? What are you saying?
I'm betting the $1,000 that someone's going to be gone.
I'm not. I'm betting that based on everything, how it all played out, and you got a chance to digest it for a few days, and you look at what's ahead, like, I think it's more than 51% likely that this group is going to remain intact for the remainder of their contract.
We had a poll question the other day, Waddle. 91 or 92% of Bears fans responded to, will they get it right? And they said no. 91 or 92%. So if the Bears don't get it right, if they don't find the quarterback, if they don't win, and they're in this position at 8-8, or they're worse, and that schedule is tough, but we know schedules are fluid. How could they possibly do the same thing they did this year? Like, it was an upset in my mind this year of what they did and the criticism they're getting. If they go into next year and it's status quo at best, how could you stand pat?
Did you hit your head this weekend?
Yes, I did. My sons did. Both sons hit their heads.
Did they?
Not me, though. Yes.
I mean, is that like a sympathetic concussion that you have right now?
I guess so, yeah.
Are you asking what they should
Mahomes
do
effect.
Or what they will do?
Waddle, I can't imagine that they're going to be back where they are now.
Okay, time out. Let's hit the rewind button from 7 weeks ago or 6 weeks ago.
Yes, I said they would change.
Well,
there would be a 6-game losing streak.
What
lost to Detroit.
Right.
Yes.
What makes you think that there has been a pivot and a turn in another direction? Like, I'm not telling you. I may lose that $1,000 because I'm not a good gambler. But if you ask me what is more likely, it's that you saw the power of collaboration and the power of liking somebody, didn't you? There is not an appetite for change when there's a comfort level that exists inside the building.
The money will be flowing. COVID will be away. We'll be vaccinated. The Bears will be 7-9. And George will say enough is enough.
Why? Do you really think? Like, you, Dan Wiederer gave you, I believe, in a tweet within the last half hour.
Right.
The last 22 years with Ted as the head of, or their president and CEO. why would you think that 2021 would be the determining, the all-important determining year? Like, I mean, I love my team. Don't get me wrong. I just, and I hope to God that they find, maybe after all of this angst, they find the magic formula. I wouldn't bet on it.
Right.
And but I'm hoping for it.
Here's what Dan tweeted, what you were referencing. In 22 seasons with Ted Phillips as the team president and CEO, the Bears have enjoyed 7 winning seasons and 3 playoff victories. Yet there is incredible resistance at Hallis Hall to trying something different. And like that's what drove us crazy. It was the topic all week last week after the press conference, after our interview with George McCaskey, that he is so firm on keeping the structure the same. And even if you keep the structure the same, what I came to the table with on Friday is, okay, well, give me a new president then. Give me the top advisor, different, who will be advising you, the football guy who admittedly acts more like a fan and doesn't know a ton about football. Give me a better guy to lead the franchise than a guy who sat in that chair for 22 freaking years with 7 winning seasons.
Do you think it'll get dumpster fire messy next year for some reason? Like,
I don't know. I hate to predict that now before I see what happens in the offseason.
I know, but we're playing the prediction game.
Like, are they gonna be in it? And I want to get into the Deshaun Watson thing because it is trending more and more likely that he's going to get dealt.
Okay, now I would say to you, and I don't believe they have enough to deal for him, but I would push my chips in for that. I would definitely be on the phone.
The problem is what kind of chips do they have comparatively?
Right, they don't have enough chips.
Like you said,
They're making $5 bets the way I do with DraftKings. You know, others got more in the bank. I don't.
Here's Carmen with his big $100 chip.
The Bears are at the $10 table, and the Texans are going right up to that $50 table.
Okay, but if you want a dream and they find a way to pull off a deal for Deshaun Watson. Dream, let me ask you.
If you want to dream that, go to sleep.
That's fine. But if you want a daydream and you think that that's possible, do you think that they're making a change with the GM or the coach after they acquire Deshaun Watson?
I understand what you're saying, but the way I look at it is this. Sylvie, you said it was a horrible weekend for the Bears. I say it was a great weekend for the Bears.
Okay,
great
give me
weekend
why.
For the Bears. Because Brian Daboll, the offensive coordinator of the Bills, is not taking a job this year. Eric Bieniemy might not be taking a job this year. Even if he gets the Texans job, who knows? He might not take it. If Deshaun Watson leaves, why take that job? He's going to sit back and wait for openings next year. There are 2 prime candidates for next year's Bears coaching job. And I look, you want to be Debbie Downer and say they're going to be good. I'm going to be optimistic and say they're going to be bad. I know that sounds weird.
That sounds weird.
I know that sounds weird. But I want change. I want change like everybody else wants change. I don't believe these two are the right guys.
But when you hear Riddick, Waddle, and he explains that they are stuck. Lewis Riddick, general manager finalist for many jobs, Monday Night Football host, he recognizes it. They're stuck. How could you go into 2021 optimism-wise that they're going to make a big deal here in the offseason to improve their team?
I don't. I just, and I didn't come in today looking to squash the dreams and hopes of anybody. Like, this was just an odd conversation that grew out of nowhere. I think if you're pushing all your chips in right now and saying, well, 2021's going to stink, but at the very least, we're going to get change at the end of the year. I just tell you to be careful with that. Just be careful with that thought. The same way I told you 6 weeks ago, be careful down the stretch here.
This has been my whole motivation for why it was important to change now. It came out. I got a text from someone inside that building too over the weekend who thinks that the local media is being too hard on the Bears, and then they cited the Pro Football Talk column. I don't know if you guys did. You guys read it? I think it was Saturday. Pro Football Talk. Florio wrote about it's not good. But it's not, like, terrible. It's not Trestman bad. And my belief is, why wait to get there before to make a change? These years are precious. Every football season is precious. They come and they go in 16 games. And I don't want to waste 2021 only to be back in the same place that we were in 2020. And that's been my motivation for change to begin with. It's not because I'm a hater. It's not because I'm stirring it up on the radio. It's because I'm sick of the same history with the 7 postseason appearances. So my motivation has been, let's nip this in the bud so you can start working on the roster with new people. And now what you're going to get is you're going to get the old general manager picking a new quarterback, and next year they're going to stink, and then they're going to get the new general manager, and they're going to have to hire a new general manager who likes the quarterback that the old general manager picked, the same way that they passed on Chris Ballard, and then you're just going to get another not fresh start, and it's going to be a mess from the start.
Why are we setting the bar at it's not that bad?
No, we aren't.
That's why. That's what my response would be. Is like nobody's looking for a pound of flesh. Nobody says that this is dumpster fire bad. But where? Why set the bar at it's not that bad? It could be worse,
right?
Because listen, the nuanced conversation here is like we just got through this. This has been a difficult time to sit and watch the quarterback position play out in the National Football League if you're a Bears fan. It's not Mitch's fault that Ryan Pace decided to take him ahead of Deshaun Watson or Patrick Mahomes. It's not Mitch's fault, so I'm not blaming him for that. But you have a general manager that made that historically, you know, disastrous mistake in football terms, obviously. And there were other opportunities to address that position, and we've highlighted them over and over again. I just don't know why you would. I mean, that's the essence of what we were talking about. It's two things. It's the quarterback position that needs to be addressed again. And the other thing, I think that why there was such a visceral response and why everything got ratcheted up was because of how the press conference unfolded, where they basically told you that collaboration and liking people is much more important than the actual outcomes of games and the performance.
The history tells the story. You have the same general manager in place who made the biggest quarterback blunder ever. You're in the quarterback market. Now you're supposed to trust him.
Right.
You also went through a 6-game losing streak. There were 2 other teams in the NFL who had 6-game losing streaks. The Jets and the Jaguars. That's bad company. So while you can simply look at the record and say, not that bad, there are real big picture issues that cause you to say, well, yes, it is. And then the president of the organization that remains the same over 22 years has only had 7 winning seasons.
And listen, it's an all-encompassing conversation, and nobody's name-calling. We've all acknowledged that they're good people, and good people is that's important, but also is performance. You've got very little cap space. Your draft has been done at the top of the draft in a very bad way comparative to a lot of the other teams in the league, and you whiffed on the quarterback. So I don't think it's out of line to want change sooner rather than later because the status quo just hasn't worked. So the concept of it's not that bad, if that's what the bar is, I bet you next year it could be not that bad. So if it's not that bad next year as well,
you think they're going to stay then?
I think you've got 2 guys. I believe, I don't know this, this is pure speculation on my behalf, but let's just say I feel a hunch that Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy's contracts are in lockstep. I could be wrong, but I just don't know why they were so reluctant to answer that question over the course of it. But you got 2 guys that are under contract for 2 years. They're nice guys. The people inside the building that make the decisions like them. So again, like I'm not sitting here, you know, trying to stir the pot. I'm just telling you when we discuss whether or not 2022 will be a season of change. Like I warned you 6 or 7 weeks ago, I wouldn't push all of my emotional chips into the middle of the table for that right now. I just wouldn't.
All right, we like these weekends because it gives us a chance when you look at these playoff teams over this past weekend and how they compare to our team. We like to weave it together. Not only do we like to marvel at some of the good teams and say, wow, look at that Tom Brady, but we also like to say, hey, how is it in relation to our team? And what does our team need to do? And then Waddle brought up, what do you believe, where are we going to be next year? And exactly, because Weider did write a piece too, or he showed you the piece from last year that he wrote, and it was exactly the same as this year. And they didn't make any changes. So you do have a good point.
Thank you.
Want to get to all of that. And I went from Kool-Aid drinking Bears fan on the Deshaun Watson front on Friday to coming back to work on Tuesday with anger in my heart. I'll get to that coming up next.
Coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Hot football chatter, 332-3776. If you want to participate, Adam Schefter over the weekend tweeted, there's a growing sense from people in and around the Texans organization that Deshaun Watson has played his last snap for the team. It's early in the offseason. There's a lot of time left. But Watson's feelings cannot and should not be underestimated. So this has really evolved here in the last, what, 4 or 5 days?
Yeah.
Where a lot of people now believe that this is beyond repair. Now, stranger things can happen. Maybe they fire Easterby. Maybe they hire Bieniemy.
I think you can fix this if you're the Houston Texans and you want to fix it. You find a path to fixing it.
Now, I've always been a guy who has waved the flag for if there's a big move to be made, make it. I have always veered away from the outside noise or tweets. Sylvie, they don't do that. Sylvie, what? Come on now. Sylvie, you're going to only get heartbroken again. But like when Cutler was available, and make no mistake about it, when Cutler was 25 or 26, we've got the bias now of living through his career where he didn't pan out to be what we thought he would be in 2009. This was a blockbuster move. He was coming off a Pro Bowl 4,600-yard season. I'm not telling you that he was as highly ranked then as Deshaun Watson is now, but he was considered a surefire franchise quarterback stud.
The move made total sense when Jerry Angelo made it.
Right, but we got the pushback. You guys are wasting your time. Why are you talking about this? The Bears don't make moves like this. And sure enough, they traded 2 first-round picks in Kyle Orton for Jay Cutler when Khalil Mack was out there. And it lasted for a good month where the Raiders kept saying, they're not going to trade him, not going to trade him. Gruden, not going to trade him, not going to trade him. We kept saying on the air, go get Mack, go get Mack. Make the move. You don't get guys who are 27 in their prime, who are top of the list pass rushers, who become available. Go do it. What did Ryan Pace do? He did it. So whenever there's a big move to be made, I've always said that with the Bulls, go make it. So I was waving the flag, Deshaun Watson, Deshaun Watson, Deshaun Watson. I mean, but man, when you look at some of these articles and when you see what the Dolphins can, and remember, right, first of all, he's got a no trade clause. So we don't know if he'd want to be here or not. If he doesn't want to go to the Jets, even though he was liking one of their back page covers, he could veto any trade, first of all. But the Jets have so much capital. The Dolphins have so much capital.
One of the reasons why the Raiders decided to make the deal with the Bears, from what I understand, is it was their belief that the Bears wouldn't be very good and that those first-round picks would be earlier in the draft. Well, you know what happened. They ended up going 12-4 the first year after that trade, and ultimately that draft pick was not nearly as high as the Raiders thought it was going to be.
Right. Atlanta has a top-end pick where they could go and get their own quarterback in Houston. Like, I read an article in The Athletic today that listed the top 5 teams. None of them were Bears. All of them had a huge return coming back that would dwarf anything the Bears could offer. And it hit me like a ton of bricks. Like, first of all, Deshaun Watson should be ours. Deshaun Watson should be on the Bears roster. And to think now that he's available that you can go get him, but you don't have what would interest them, one. And two, not only did the Bears not draft Deshaun Watson, but they didn't even interview him, nor did they even work him out. And now here we are 4 years later saying you could go get. It's just, it's a total dream crusher, Waddle.
Yeah.
I'm a dream enhancer. I can drink the Kool-Aid with the best of them and wave the flag and say, why not us? But this is one where I can't sit here today and say, why not us? Because I think we have all the answers we need.
Well, you're not on a level playing field with some of the teams you mentioned. Now, it doesn't mean you shouldn't go talk to them. You obviously pick up the phone and call them. And you try to if in fact they are listening to phone calls and offers, you try to have a conversation and make it work. But, yeah, I don't believe you've got enough to give when you are comparing with some of the other teams. So my guess is that it will not happen. Shefty doesn't just throw things out there, as you've said quite a bit. So it's obviously very, very, very real, and it's playing out in front of everybody.
Right. Mort, too, and Mort's been a big guy on the Miami Dolphins front.
Right, right. My reluctance to believe that it will happen is because I can't imagine that the Houston Texans are that... Well, A, that they're as foolish as they are to let it get to where it's gotten, but B, that they can't find a path back to reconciliation. It's the most difficult position to find in all of sports. He's, what, 25? He's going to be 26 when the season begins? Like, you build around him. You don't trade him to rebuild. But, I don't know what's going to happen with it, but it's crazy.
Yeah, and I think it's very real. I totally believe in it. And it's like the perfect timing for the Bears need a quarterback. But I don't believe who wants the 20th overall pick. The 20th overall pick in what? What are you going to do that's going to trump what the Jets or the Dolphins or
nothing.
The Falcons can offer?
That's why you are you're not in the back seat. You're actually tied to the roof of the vehicle.
And
you're not in the driver's seat. You're not in the back seat. You're tied to the roof of the vehicle.
The roof of the vehicle, like a Christmas tree.
Yes, you are a Christmas tree tied to the roof of the vehicle. That's who you are in this process of trying to trade for.
And if you're Watson with a no-trade clause, and say the Saints want you, okay? So, now, the Saints don't have a top-end pick either, but if you're Watson and you know you could step in with Sean Payton right away, like, there are so many other places you would want to go before you'd want to come here. Because whatever you'd give up then, they're all red. The asset cabinet is already bare. You know what I mean? The cupboards are bare to begin with the Bears.
I didn't know where you were going with that because you kind of paused when you said asset cabinet. I didn't know where you were headed with
I meant cupboard. The cupboard is bare. The asset cupboard is bare.
Gotcha.
To begin with now, what the Bears have in assets is low. The 20th overall pick. And what? What has value? Like, I'm getting Nick Foles. Why would the Texans want Nick Foles? Like, okay, what? Nick Foles? And so what are you going to trade that would entice them?
Your best player on offense this year is actually a free agent. So you couldn't trade him.
Yeah, Allen Robinson.
Right.
I mean, you could franchise it, but why would they want to do that?
I don't know why they would do that.
Without Gorman in Mount Greenwood, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Gorman?
Hey, fellas, Deshaun Watson. So if the Bears did manage to get him, and then now they can't address the other issues with the team, so now isn't he just changing his zip code, getting pummeled up here in Chicago instead of getting pummeled down in Houston? Right.
Yeah. No, you're right, Gorman. I mean, it's a very good point. I mean, you are – I guess the answer or the response to that, Gorman, would be, well, at least you're appreciated in Chicago while you're getting your teeth kicked in, as opposed to getting your teeth kicked in Houston and not being appreciated. I mean, that to me is not much of a consolation prize.
So you have a GM and a coach who could be on their last legs. The general manager passed you over. Now, I'm not a believer of what Abdallah said, where I would just go with because he passed you over, you would say no. But I'm saying you have instability just like he had in Houston, with a coach that could be gone and doesn't make offenses better, with a general manager who passed you up the first time and isn't known to build up his offensive line. You have a president who is very Jack Easterby-like. This Jack Easterby guy, he's pissed, has this power in Houston, where the guy who fronts the organization in Chicago is the guy who's been there for 22 years and is gone and has had 7 winning seasons. It's got, like, if you would do any homework, if you're Deshaun Watson, why would you say, yes, trade me there?
You wouldn't.
Yeah.
You just, I mean, your simple
like I
answer
said,
is you wouldn't.
Dream enhancer. I can't go there today. Andy in New Lenox, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Andy?
What's going on, guys? How you doing?
We're good.
So I just wanted to say, Sylvie, I'm kind of with you as far as, like, changes after this year. I'm kind of giving them the benefit of the doubt when I know that they probably shouldn't get the benefit of the doubt. But at the beginning of this year, it wasn't like a lot of people were saying, oh, Nagy's got to go, Pace has got to go. People still didn't like Pace, but it wasn't at the point that we're at now. So at the end of next year, because they're going to have no help, there's no way they're going to be able to trade for Deshaun. I mean, they have no capital. They don't have any good players to trade. So they're kind of screwed. There's no good free agent quarterbacks. They can't sign somebody. So, I mean, at the end of next year, if they go 8-8 or anything worse than that, I think everyone's got to go. I think that's the only choice they can make, right?
Like, what other? No, it's not the only choice they can make.
Well, no, I understand. I understand that. Like, look, you know, they haven't done a great job, and you know, I'm only 26, and you guys have been seeing this the whole Todd Phillips tenor. But it's just like, people are going to be so mad. Look how mad people are right now. And we went 8-8 and made the playoffs. And, like, if they do that next year and they go 8-8, whatever, even if they make the playoffs, people are going to be furious. They're done. I mean, they're stuck in the mud here. I always like to say they're, like, on the hamster wheel where they're just going around and around and around and around, and they're not making – like, they're not doing anything. So, like, I just – I don't know. I'm with you, Sylvie. I think that – things will be so bad next offseason if they go and, you know, kind of poop the bed. Things are going to be so bad next offseason that I feel like they're going to have to make a change.
Waddle, I mean, if Waddle's right, this could be a season 2020, 2021, where we go in with zero optimism either way. You would go in with zero optimism that your team could win it all, and you may go in with zero optimism that they're going to make a change. Think about that.
Well, listen, they're the essence of an 8-8 team, aren't they? Like, they could do some things with their defense. Like, Khalil Mack gets healthy. Robert Quinn comes in a little healthier. Eddie Goldman comes back. Danny Trevathan is a very serviceable middle linebacker. You get Roquan back. Yeah. I mean, Kyle Fuller still, I think we agree, Kyle Fuller is still an excellent cornerback. Jalen Johnson comes back in his second year. He was good in his first year. He had some rookie hiccups, but it was a good pick. You get Tayshaun Gibson to come back. I would think that he'd be desirable if you were the front office. He may end up being, you may be able to demand more than you could pay. And what if Eddie Jackson comes back and is a better football player next year than he was this year? Bilal Nichols is a year older. Like, the point I'm making is I can paint you a scenario where their defense helps them to be a 500 club. Like, go back to 2019 when this defense was a top five in scoring defense. They didn't have the splashy takeaway plays and all the touchdowns of 2018. They were top five scoring defense. What was their record, bro?
8-8.
Okay. What was their offense ranked? Yards and points per game in 2019, bro?
Like 27?
29th.
29.
They were 8-8. Yeah, so don't tell me that this team can't be an 8-8 team again next year. They can. That's why I'm saying, listen, I'm not a pound of flesh guy, but if you ask me what I would have done, I just would have turned the page and gotten a new set of eyes, because, like, what they're going to do is they're going to take a big box of Band-Aids, and they're going to try to stop the blood flow with Band-Aids. And they're going to mix, and they're going to match, and they're going to cut, and they're going to paste as guys try to, we're close. We're really close. Whereas a new set of eyes may take a look at you and go, you're really not that close. Your defensive players that were game changers were better a couple of years ago than they are now. The young guys haven't really developed. I mean, a new set of eyes may take you in a different direction. So all I'm saying is, it's just beware.
You're saying be you.
No, beware.
Don't tell me to be me.
Don't be you. Beware.
All right, 332-3776. All of your calls on the Bears. What did you see from this weekend's playoff teams? At 3, I want to get into the Cubs moves, too. There are two controversial Cubs stories out there. We'll get into that at 3.
This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home. Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
You love
and the calls. I love that. Yeah. That's the one that I let go for a while. I let it go. I gotta hear it. Gotta hear it until that part. 332-3776. That's music right there. Get into the NFL playoffs specifically.
By
about
the way,
these
can
matchups.
I just say, like, listen, I didn't mean to bring you down. I'll be cheering. I'll be hoping that they have found the magic formula and that 2021 is going to be significantly different. And that, guess what? They have a chance, and I know you get tired of hearing me say this at the end of this past season, they have a chance to change the narrative. Go ahead and do it. Shut us all up. Make us all look like fools for asking for change after the 2020 season. I would be more than happy to sit here and say, what's wrong?
Me
but
too.
But damn, look at my team. They're in the divisional playoff round. Here we go.
Right.
Like, take me there. Rub my face in it.
I want hope. I want belief. I want winning. No one's being haters.
I love my team.
It's tough to see.
Love my team.
Philly Sid, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Sid?
Gentlemen, good to talk to you. The one thing that I would be very, very leery about bringing him here to Chicago is a combination of his injury history that most people aren't really talking about, in addition to the capital that you say that the Bears don't really have in order to go get him. If they don't have the capital to go get him, they don't have the capital to support him once he gets here. We know they need two tackles offensively. And this guy has been sacked on average 3 times per game since he joined the NFL and is playing on 2 surgically repaired knees. Mm-hmm. That kind of abuse on a guy is going to catch up to him sooner than later. And I just don't see, between the lack of capital that the Bears have to go get him, the ability to put tackles around to protect him, and what it's going to take to make all that happen. If he does win here, he's going to be like 35 before it happens.
Well, listen, it's one of the reasons, Sid, that I do believe there were some people when he came out of the draft that were a touch skeptical, not about his ability, because that was completely on display at the collegiate level. Like, he was on the biggest stage under the brightest lights against basically an Alabama defense, wasn't it, in consecutive years. That was virtually a professional defense and performed magically. There were some, though, because he had the previous injury in college, and he's a bit of a thinner built guy.
And like, then listen, remember, he did tear the
in his first year.
Right. So he did have that knee injury in his first year.
His last 3 years, he's played 16 games, 15 games, and 16 games. It's a concern. I mean, I think Sid makes a decent point. He's a slender guy, and all of that stuff will add up. He's 25. Like, I mean, that's not going to scare me away. Sid's right. I mean, if you bring him in, you've got to do a better job protecting him than the Houston Texans did. In his 4 years in Houston, he got sacked 19 times in 7 games in his rookie year. He was sacked 62 times his second year, 44 in his third year, and 49 in his fourth year. Now, some of those, you could argue that the sack total would be even higher if he didn't have the escapability that he had. You could also maybe argue that some of the sacks are him trying to scramble and get away. I don't know. Sid's point is very, very valid. Is it something you would keep an eye on? For me, it would not be a deal breaker.
Alex in the West Loop, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Alex?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
We're good.
Good. So here's the thing, and this is coming from someone who played college ball himself. It's, in my opinion, it's not a personnel issue. It's a leadership issue. And you know that after every single one of these games where Nagy is like, yeah, well, I really like the way we came together in the locker room. I mean, there's no pressure on him. He is one of the most insufferable traits of someone, which I call fake ownership, where he goes, yep, it's my fault. I got to do better. And then nothing ever happens, right?
Right.
There's so much talent on this team.
Not on the offensive side of the ball.
Agreed. But the defense, I mean, you've seen other teams do a lot more with less. And the fact that after every single one of these games, it's not about what they did wrong. It's about, okay, yeah, well, what do we do right, and how well do we do in the locker room together, everybody? And that's what you're going to get. This is the result. You're going to get mediocre football, and the only time they're actually going to win, it's going to be off coincidence.
You're right. He reminds me of my oldest son. Mason is a really good kid.
Can talk himself out of anything?
Yes, and he's really good kid. but he has those Legos all over the damn floor, and I step on them all over. Everything that you hear, the cliche stuff about those Legos, is true. He's a really good builder with them, but they're always on the floor. And I said, look, I'm going to make you a rule. You have all day to clean your room. If I come in here when I put you to bed, whatever's on that floor when you're in bed, I'm taking and I'm taking away.
I like that rule.
And I've said it final time. This is the final warning, Mason. I've said final warning 8 times. And he apologizes. Daddy, I promise. I'm gonna clean it. I'll clean it now. I'm going to do better. That's Matt Nagy.
Yeah.
Matt Nagy has come to us endless amounts of time. You know, look, it's ownership. Guys have really looked in the mirror. I get it. Good question. I get it. We'll be back. And he's apologizing 2 weeks later for something else.
If I'm Mason, after you take my Legos, I turn the table on you, and I take a dump on my floor say, Dad, take that. You want to pick up everything that's left behind when I go to bed? Look at me. I'm snuggled in bed. That's your turn over there. You pick it up.
Don't give him ideas. He could be in the car now. Shh.
Mason, poop on your floor. If your dad's going to take
you
your Legos away,
don't
poop
dare
on your floor,
that.
Mason. Turn the tables on him.
This is what you're teaching my oldest son to poop on the floor?
Well, if you're going to take away his Legos, if you're going
to
take away
is that what you want Matt Nagy to do?
I heard that only cool kids poop on the floor. So if you're a cool kid, you're going to poop on the floor.
There you go, Adam.
You can't
freedom!
Gang up like that.
Sylvie, you have carpet?
Freedom!
Carpet in the bedrooms?
Yes.
Yeah, like
it has to be
really,
carpet.
Yeah, smash that
only
into the carpet.
Like the coolest kids poop on carpet.
I think Mason poop on the floor and then invite Brax to come in and put his shoes on and step
Brax
all over
Brax will poop on the floor. Oh, yeah. The other day, I posted a picture on Instagram. He was in the morning at 7. He was on 7:30 in the morning. He was on literally the top shelf in our spare bedroom. It's like touching the ceiling. That's where he decided to take up shop and watch his iPad.
I like it.
8 feet above the floor.
Yeah, he's gonna be a Walenda when he's older.
Yeah, if he makes it to then, I mean, geez,
what do you mean he's gonna make?
He's a daredevil now.
It's all
craziness.
Right. Craziness. Kids bounce.
332-3776 is our phone number. We're taking your Bears calls. Would you allow your kid to poop on the floor?
Now that you have a new health plan, you should plan to use it. Find helpful tips and more help at GetCoveredIllinois.gov. Your health coverage starts here.
What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN_Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Boom, boom, boom. Boom, 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 boom. Boom, boom, boom.
Some tweets rolling in. And shout out to everyone in the Twitch chat, too. You can interact in real time there. Twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. You could see Waddle. All of our local shows on Twitch. It's a great way to watch, react, and listen. The easiest way to get our shows, whether it be live or all the podcasts, easily is the ESPN Chicago app. People were tweeting me, how can I get the link for the George McCaskey interview, even into the weekend? And I'm like, it's so easy. Download that ESPN Chicago app. It's all hour by hour. It's labeled. Right there at the top of that hour that George came on with us, it says George McCaskey. Boom. One button, another button.
Boom.
You're listening to George McCaskey. There you go.
You're like the John Madden of radio.
Yeah, hardly. Boom. No. Greg tweets and says, I turn on the radio just in time to hear, would you allow your kid to poop on the floor? What did I miss?
I don't know why you asked that question. I was just giving Mason some advice that if Dan's going to play good country hardball, then maybe you need to play good country, you know, hardball back.
You know, your daughter, Georgia, just turned 28. We were reminiscing on the text chain the other day. She was 14 when this show started. That's how fast it's gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Emerson was what, like 2 or 3 at the time?
Yeah, she's 17 now.
Wait, you think if I would have been saying then to poop on the floor for Emerson, that Carl would have been happy? Or
do you realize I had one of my kids used to take her diaper off daily and smear it all over her crib. She was a little wee baby at a time. What?
I thought you were calling her a name.
No, she was a baby. I mean, this wasn't like when she was a toddler, when she was a baby. I wasn't calling my daughter a bad name. I kind of took your breath away, didn't I?
You did. No, you did.
I would never say that about my kids. But I'm just telling you, when she was a little one, we used to have to put a tent over top of the, like a zip-up tent on the crib as well, because she was...
Yes,
she was a lot like Braxton.
Yeah, a lot. Zach's in Phoenix. Zach, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up?
Hey, I was just calling. I was thinking, since we're tied to all these defensive players and stuff, and obviously Pagano was like reserved on defense, and he's got all these athletes. Why don't you bring in somebody like a Rex Ryan who can really get the defense excited to play again, and you know, just trying to kind of change up the feeling of, you know, defense being the side of the ball you want in Chicago.
Yeah, I don't know who they're going to bring in. I will say this, Zach. I would like to see them play a more aggressive style. And you know, I go back to the Saints game that they lost in the wild card game, and you knew what Drew Brees' his weaknesses were at this point. He's over 40. He's had shoulder issues. He doesn't throw the deep ball very well anymore. And I know you were down a few players, and not to relive something that happened a couple of weeks ago, but like when you have a pass rush, when you can get to the quarterback with four, you know, or even throw another guy in the mix, I mean, it gives you I think it gives you an edge. And I think you've got the corners that can play a lot of bump and run man coverage too. Like if I was in charge of that defense going forward, I'd be much more aggressive. I just would. I mean, and maybe it would be a bad plan, but like I'd take the game to an opponent as opposed to sitting back and making them go the length of the field.
First of all, with Rex Ryan, he just said like a week ago he doesn't like that Matt Nagy guy.
Yeah, so
I don't think he's getting a call. But look, Wade Phillips is out there. Who's the guy who is always opening up his big mouth, and he got fired from the Jets? Greg Williams. You know, he got suspended from the league years ago. He was in controversy in Cleveland too. Like that, you're bringing in like a guy that is risky as bringing in a risky player.
My guess is
they've interviewed James Betcher from the former Giants and Cardinals defensive coordinator.
Right. And that's a name that's gotten a lot of traction. And Waddle, are you going to go that they hire in-house? Because that's where my bet is.
Yeah, that would be my guess, is that they'd hire in-house. I think if they hire somebody else from outside the organization, who is it, you know, like a recognizable name, not a guy that doesn't have a job right now, but like a... If you take a play, what is the rule in the NFL now that if you can interview a coach from another team as long as it is as a vertical step up in terms of the job, right?
Yes.
Like if they do that, that would be a signal to me that this ain't a winner, or you're going home at the end of the 2021 season. Because what coach, unless he's on the outs with his current team, is going to leave that team and take a job here, not knowing what the job security is of the existing staff?
Right. I don't think that's good. And I think they feel burned by Brandon Staley, too, that they had a guy in-house who is now being considered for head coaching jobs that they let go with Vic Fangio.
Well, he got the Chargers job.
Yeah, so there you go.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Staley was just here coming from, like, John Carroll College in Ohio in 17.
I think it's the reason why Dable staying with Buffalo, right? Because didn't Dable, I think, had set his sights on the Chargers job, and they gave that job to Brandon Staley.
Unbelievable, yeah. Tim in River West, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Tim?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you doing?
Good.
We're good.
You know, just wanted to mention, we got to think of a new nickname for Nagy and Pace as, you know, the new Garpex, the new inept duo in town, because this is what we're in store for the next however long they're here. Just like we're with Garpex, every offseason wondering how Allen Robinson's walking around, wondering how they're trading up or down in the draft, making, you know, ridiculously bad moves. And in a sense, they're even worse because you never had guard packs. They didn't miss on, you know, a draft pick like a Mitch. You know, they didn't miss on Mahomes. They didn't miss on Watson. You know, this would be like, you know, they're worse than probably LaMarcus Aldridge. You know, this would be like if they would have traded for Tyrus Thomas and taken him over LeBron James. I mean, that's how bad of a draft pick they have. And it's not going to get better until management's better, just like you see with the Bulls now starting to come around, just like we saw on the north side with the Cubs. Yeah. This is what we're in for.
What is the what would be the catchy nickname for the collaboration duo? What about the collaboration kids?
The collaboration kids, that could work. I like Peggy. It sounds a little rough, but maybe they deserve it.
Yeah, I think the collaborate. I think we. I don't know. I think Ted's more like Pax too. Pax is a title winner. He won 4 championships. He made a lot of, so maybe that's an insult to Pax because he drafted some, but the longevity of not wanting to move on from, like Waddle said, with a new fresh set of eyes, that's where I'm drawing the comparison. Because, Pace has been here 6 years, Nagy's been here 3. That's not extra long tenure.
No, they haven't been there that long.
Remember, Gar was with the Bulls. He came with Tim Floyd.
Right.
With Tim Floyd. Lyle in Montgomery, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Lyle?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
We're good.
So, my opinion on this whole Deshaun Watson thing is, it's just like what you see a lot of the Chicago teams trying to do. They try to take these shortcuts rather than, enduring through a tough rebuild, doing it the right way through the draft. You're going to go and you're going to give, 3, 4 first-round picks or a couple first- and second-round picks for a guy like Deshaun Watson, who's a great talent, but now you've got nothing left over to rebuild the line. You've got nothing left over to go out and get some guys to catch the ball from him. So you got a great quarterback, an aging defense, and no assets to keep your team going at that point.
No, it's fair, but if I can find the most important piece to the puzzle and then work from there, I would still choose that path versus the path I'm on.
Me too. The 101-year quest.
Yeah.
And, someone tweeted over the weekend that the Bears are still the only team without a 4,000-yard thrower on their quarterback.
Right.
They've never had it. The only team
they
with
don't
the
have
32.
A 30-touchdown. Do they have a quarterback?
No, they don't have a 30-touchdown guy either. I don't know if the other teams in the league have all hit that mark, but I do know that every team, 31 other teams, have all had a passer throw for 4,000 yards. And the Bears, as we know, are the longest-running team in the National Football League.
By the way, have they made any, or when will they make some sort of announcement about what their plans are for Mitch?
You know that.
They I don't know that.
Well, he's a free agent. Do they need to tell you anything? He's free.
He is, but what are their plans? I would think you moved up, you drafted him. He spent 4 years in your organization. At some point, don't you address whether we think it's over or not, don't you address what your plans are at that position with him?
I don't know. The Cubs didn't, and this is a good segue, the Cubs didn't announce what the status is with John Lester, a World Series winner, until he was actually signed with the Nationals. We'll get to that in 2 short minutes.